Live from the College of Communication, Arts, and Sciences at Michigan State University, it is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's Current Sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a sorry receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shut fake one time.
We're talking about practice, not a game.
And I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Looking in the mirror. Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cat.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
What is up, beautiful people? You are now locked into WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, L. Martin. On this Monday fun day, September 11th. 2017. Yeah, that date really stands out in the mind, right? As 16 years ago today, we underwent one of the most heinous days in our country's history. But happy Monday, folks. We have a great hour of sports talk in store for all of you right here on WKAR AM 870 94.5 FM. On today's show, we will do our best to recap the weekend that has been in the local sporting world and beyond. How about the Detroit Football Lions, the Honolulu Blue, opening up the year at Ford Field with a win over a stout Arizona Cardinals team? It was an ugly beginning to that game, but after Matthew Stafford and that offense settled in, they really turned a lot of heads. Are you buying a week one win over the Arizona Cardinals for the Detroit Lions? We'll talk about that. We'll take your calls, of course. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. We will also welcome Nate Atkins to the show, Detroit Lions beat reporter for MLive.com. He will join us around the 1:30 p.m. mark to talk about his takeaways from that game. Also, how about the weekend that was for the Michigan State football team? Getting a win over a Western Michigan Broncos squad that had a lot of USC fans biting their nails now 2 weeks ago. Michigan State making it look relatively easy against the Broncos. Now 2-0, heading into a bye week before they will welcome the Notre Dame Fighting Irish to Spartan Stadium for a night game. We'll recap Michigan State's win. Also, how about the University of Michigan college football program that got off to a rocky start against Cincinnati? We'll recap that game as well and basically look at the entire spectrum for the Big Ten College Football Conference. And we will, of course, like we always do each and every Monday here on Current Sports, we will have weekend winners for you, who exactly had the best weekend in the world of sports. And we will introduce you to Casey Harrison and John LeBlanc, two of our newest Current Sports production assistants, who will join me live on the air to talk about what they will be covering in the upcoming months here on WKAR's Current Sports. So as you see, our plate runneth over. It's a ton of sports talk to get to on today's show. We'll try to get to all of it, I promise you. Again, if you want to be a part of the fun, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527 is the number to call. You can also go to facebook.com/currentsports, where we currently have the live stream up and running. Leave us a comment there. I will do my best to read your comments live here on our airwaves. And you can even join us via Twitter. At WKAR_sports is the official Current Sports Twitter handle. And you can tweet me personally at WKAR, at Al Martin, WKAR. All right, folks, you know what's next. Here are your current sports quick hit headliners. Hey, folks, we start with the Detroit Lions. How about that game? A week one win over the Arizona Cardinals. Are you kidding me? Matthew Stafford threw two of his four touchdown passes to rookie Kenny Galladay in the fourth quarter on Sunday, helping the Lions rally to beat the Cardinals 35-23. The final of that one, the Lions picked off three of Carson Palmer's passes, returning one for a touchdown. They also knocked David Johnson out of the game after forcing him to fumble in the third quarter. Detroit set an NFL record last year by rallying to win eight games after trailing in the fourth quarter and open this season with another comeback. Call them the Cardiac Cats. I tell you, the Lions will now visit the New York Giants a week from today on Monday Night Football. The Giants fell to my Dallas Cowboys last night on Sunday Night Football. More on the Honolulu Blue in just a moment. The Detroit Tigers fell 2 of 3 games to the Toronto Blue Jays over the weekend, including an 8-2 loss yesterday afternoon. Anibal Sanchez, he left after 4 2/3 innings of work and allowed 7 earned runs on 12 hits, pushing his ERA to 7.43. Right-hander Miles Jay makes his first MLB start against the hottest team in baseball, the Cleveland Indians. Tonight in Cleveland, Jay has made 2 relief appearances since being promoted and went 4-13 with a 3.96 ERA over 131 2/3 innings split between AA and AAA earlier this season. The Indians, oh, are they hot or what? Riding an 18-game win streak, the hottest team in the game right now. And due to Hurricane Irma, the Detroit Tigers have opened their Lakeland, Florida facilities on Sunday to the public and emergency personnel as a headquarters for relief efforts in the area. According to a report from the Detroit Free Press, Ron Myers told the Free that about 50 staff members were waiting the storm out at the Tiger Town complex and that there was a generator and plenty of food available. Tigers earlier this year finished up a $40.8 million renovation of their facility in Lakeland. Also, of course, Jose Iglesias is out in Florida. He has not been able to return to the team due to Hurricane Irma. Our thoughts and prayers out to the state of Florida. What a weekend it has been, folks. All right. Brian Lewerke scored on a 61-yard touchdown run in the first quarter, and Michigan State's defense was impressive for a second straight week in a 28-14 win over Western Michigan on Saturday at Spartan Stadium. Lewerke added another touchdown on a quarterback sneak and also threw for a touchdown on a day when the Spartans didn't need to do much offensively. Michigan State has allowed only 3 touchdowns in 2 games this year. 2 of them came on a fumble, well, I should say on fumble returns, and the other on a kickoff return. Lewerke opened the scoring with the longest touchdown run by a Michigan State quarterback since 1973. Wow, that's when my pops was rocking an afro. That's a long time ago. A fake handoff helped open up the middle of the field, and the sophomore was able to outrun the secondary for that 7-0 lead. The last time, again, 1973, that's actually when Charlie Baggett had a 69-yarder against Purdue. Michigan State now enters a bye week before welcoming Notre Dame to Spartan Stadium on September 23rd. Quarterback Wilton Spate threw a pair of touchdowns, and the defense came up with 2 INTs returned for touchdowns as the University of Michigan football team pulled away from Cincinnati to win its opener, home opener, I should say, 36-14 on Saturday inside of the Big House. Now, the Michigan defense was sharp once again, limiting the Bearcats to just 200 yards of total offense It came up with two turnovers, both pick sixes. The Wolverines back in action Saturday when they host Air Force at Michigan Stadium. Kickoff is at noon. You can watch that one on the Big Ten Network. Michigan at 2-0 also moved up one spot to number 7 in this week's top 25 coaches poll, one spot ahead of Oklahoma State and two spots in front of rival Ohio State. The Buckeyes fell at home to new number 3 Oklahoma. On Saturday in Columbus, Michigan also moved up to number 7 from number 8 in this week's Associated Press top 25. How about Eastern Michigan? Isaac, can we get a hand clap to the EMU Eagles? Oh, man. How fun was that on Saturday? The Eastern Michigan University football team completed its first win over a Power 5 opponent in program history with a heart-pounding 16-13 dub over Rutgers University on Saturday evening at High Point Solutions Stadium. Now, with the win, EMU snatched its first win over a Big Ten Conference opponent in 39 tries and moved to 2-0 on the season for the first time since 2011. EMU did most of its offensive damage through the air as senior Brogan Robach. He finished his day 19 of 36 with 260 yards and a touchdown pass. EMU now heads into its bye week before returning to Reinierson Stadium on Saturday, September 23rd, for its MAC opener against Ohio University. Kickoff from the factory is still yet to be determined. And how about CMU? Shane Morris, he threw for 467 yards and 5 touchdowns on Saturday as Central Michigan ran past Kansas 45-27 in a non-conference game at the Jayhawks Memorial Stadium. The win was CMU's second straight over a Big 12 opponent after last year's three-point Hail Mary stunner at Oklahoma State. It also came a week after a lackluster performance in a triple overtime season opening win over Rhode Island. The Chips, fire up Chips, go to Syracuse of the ACC on Saturday. All right, we'll have more from that game as well. And how about this? Sloan Stephens, ranked 83rd, beat 15th seeded Madison Keys 6-3, 6-0 in the final of the U.S. Open. The 24-year-old was ranked as low as 957th just 6 weeks ago, having only returned from 11 months out with a foot injury at Wimbledon. She becomes only the 5th unseeded woman to win a major in the Open era. She is the first American woman from outside the Williams family to win a major singles title since Jennifer Capriati at the 2002 Australian Open. And Rafael Nadal won his 3rd U.S. Open and 16th Grand Slam title with a one-sided victory over South Africa's Kevin Anderson out in New York. Congratulations to Stevens and Nadal. That wraps up your current sports quick hit headliners. Let's start the show.
She take my money when I'm in need. Yes, she's a trifling friend indeed. Oh, she's a gold digger way over town that digs on me. She give me money when I'm in need. She give me money when I'm in need. I got a
inside the 25 of the Cardinals. Stafford on 2nd and 5. And that's intercepted. The Cardinals get it right back. It's Justin Bethel down the sideline. Past Stafford. And Justin Bethel is going to have a Cardinal touchdown. Matthew Stafford with time. Dancing around. End zone throw. Catch made. It's a Lions touchdown, Marvin Jones.
A lot of teams doing it the way Detroit is.
On 2nd and goal, Stafford. Catch. Theo Riddick. It's It's going to be a touchdown, Lions. Kenny Golladay leaps for it. He held on for a touchdown, Lions. For the Lions and Stafford. 35-23 for Laura Oakland, Daryl Johnston, Chris Myers, and our crew. More America's Game of the Week will be coming up. The NFL on Fox.
Isaac, we want prenup, yeah.
Woo!
you remember that joint, man? That was back. I just want to just guess what year. What year did late registration come out?
2004, right?
You're close. 2005 is when you were a year off. That's when Kanye West, one of his best albums. I mean, right, like College Dropout, Late Registration. That's when Kanye West was Kanye West. That's when I was a big fan of his. But back in 2005. That is when late registration dropped. I was a sophomore in high school. I was absolutely obsessed with that album. That is Gold Digger. That's the instrumental of Gold Digger, one of my favorite tracks on the album. August 30th, 2005. That's when that album dropped. And you know what? The Lions beating the Cardinals. That was the last time the Lions beat the Cardinals was in 2005. So not just a few weeks after Kanye West, the late registration album dropped, a few weeks after that, the Lions beat the Cardinals. That is the last time prior to yesterday that the Lions had beaten Arizona. The seven-game losing streak has now ended. What a great outing it was for the Detroit Lions starting the year off with a dub. However, I'm going to pose this question to you all. Are you buying the Detroit Lions? Is this smoke and mirrors? Beating an Arizona Cardinals team that is expected to do quite well this year when it comes to many preseason projections, are you buying that win from the Detroit Lions? Can I tell you what? This is still the Detroit Lions, all right? Good win, don't get me wrong. And there are a lot of positives that you can take away from this game. However, the way that game began, how ugly was that? And of course, the season began that way for the Detroit Lions. What other way could it have begun? I mean, the Lions getting a gimme, ideally, from Carson Palmer. He throws a pick, first drive of the game. Then the Lions, on their first drive of the game, Matthew Stafford trying to hook up with Golden Tate. Golden Tate... I tell you what, watching that play, Golden Tate could have made more of an effort to go after that football, especially after Matthew throws the pick. He got caught up with a defender. Matthew Stafford throws a pick, and then Golden Tate just kind of like jogs off like, oh, whoa, that's an interception. Okay. I couldn't believe the effort, the lack thereof, I should say, of effort from Golden Tate on that play. But and also, how about the third down play? Matthew Stafford and the Lions deep in their own territory. Matthew rolls out the pocket, and there's nothing there. So he decides to throw like a Brett Favre underhanded toss. The ball doesn't even make it to the line of scrimmage. That's a flag. Backs the Lions up. And then we saw what happened on the punt attempt, right? I mean, that was really, really bad. Really bad. And you look at how things went in those first few moments. And heck, to be honest, the rest of that first half. And then to watch the turnaround, Matthew Stafford shaking off that first half. Then he goes for 292 yards, four touchdowns after the interception. Wow. I must say that was impressive. That was really impressive. Also, how about the Detroit Lions, a team that finished the year last year with just 17 turnovers, They had four on Sunday. Four turnovers in one game. Game one to start the season. That Detroit Lions defense kept them in the game and allowed Matthew Stafford to pull off some fourth quarter magic, some second half magic, because it looked ugly to begin. I was very impressed, though. That Detroit Lions defense, that defensive line able to create pressure on Carson Palmer all day. They were able to get hurries, make Carson jump out the pocket multiple times. So with that being said, I was shocked, I must say, to look at the stats at the end of the game to see that the Lions only finished with just one sack. You know, every time they did get back on those hurries, they were unable to really finish and put Carson in the grass. However, it led to Carson making some sporadic decisions that led to turnovers. Three Lions safeties had interceptions in that game. Impressive stuff. But the Lions have to stop starting so slow. I mean, the way they begin games, it was horrible. Dwayne Washington, I don't know what he was doing. He had a bad day early on in that game where, you know, there was a kickoff. They were already down 10-0. Dwayne Washington back to return. The ball rolls into the end zone. It bounces off of his hands. He picks it up. And I'm sitting there saying, just take a knee, dude. What are you doing? He decides to play hero ball, run out of the end zone, and only pick up, like, what, 7 or 8 yards. The Lions, again, deep in their own territory. Take a knee and have the Lions offense take over at the 20. He also got called for a 15-yard penalty earlier in the game. I didn't know what was going on there. Mental blunders. Those are mental blunders that later on in the season against better competition will end up losing you the game. But hey, who am I to say that? This is a Detroit Lions team that had 8 comeback wins in the fourth quarter last year. And they begin the year with another one. It blows my mind. I cannot get a good read on this Detroit Lions offense. The defense, though, great all game. Mad props to this Detroit Lions defense. I mentioned on Friday of last week how Jarrett Davis, the first-round pick for the Lions, he is turning a lot of heads because he's just a natural-born leader. You know, you hear a lot of guys out of the Lions preseason camp talking about how Jarrett Davis just exudes confidence and leadership. You know, he's kind of like the Ray Lewis in his rookie campaign with the Detroit Lions. It's amazing. And I will say, though, Jared, you can't body slam in the NFL. he had a really, like, he like German suplexed a defender late in the game yesterday. And I'm like, whoa, hold on, Jared. I know you're aggressive, man, and you love hitting, but that's illegal. And he got flagged for that. But he had a nice day, a nice day. He had 9 tackles, a fumble recovery, and a pass deflection that in the stat sheet he was not credited for. He was great, though. I was very impressed with Jarrett Davis. I was impressed with that defensive line again. Guys like Cornelius Washington, guys like Akeem Spence, guys like Haloti Ngata, whose health is a question mark heading into week 2. Again, they will play the New York Giants a week from today. Haloti Ngata did leave the game under his own power. He walked to the sidelines under his own power late in that game yesterday. But that defensive line was fantastic. The linebacker core was great as well. Darius Slay, he was fantastic. Had a few pass breakups. The Detroit Lions defense, can they be consistent? If they have that type of effort every single Sunday, the Lions, no matter what the offense does, the Lions D is going to keep them in football games where on a normal Lions season, that wouldn't be the case. But I was impressed, I must say. I chose the Lions to lose that game against Arizona, as many of you know who tuned in to Friday's Current Sports. But they pulled it out. Another fourth quarter comeback. Are you buying it? 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. As far as the rushing attack goes, I mean, I talked about the woes of Dwayne Washington. He was not great. Amir Abdullah, he wasn't great either. 15 carries, 30 yards, averaged 2 yards per carry. That's a question mark moving forward as well. The Lions' rushing attack has to be better. Receiving-wise, again, Matthew Stafford, hey, he lived up to that $135 million contract, at least for this past Sunday. 29 of 41, 292 yards, 4 touchdowns. He found multiple receivers when he was out there. I believe his 4 touchdowns came to, well, they went to 4 different receivers as well. So he spread the ball around all day, all afternoon. Golden Tate was his favorite target. Golden Tate had 10 catches for 107 yards. And Kenny Golladay, how about this? I believe Kenny was a third-round draft pick from Northern Illinois. 4 catches, 69 yards, 2 touchdowns. He's got a huge frame. He's about 6'4", 6'5". You can just throw it up to him in the end zone. He's going to have a good shot to haul in the football. I'm surprised that he was such a force that early on in the season. So a lot of things to like about the Lions, but you look at that first half. And that's why I'm still wary when it comes to the Honolulu Blue. You look at how that first half went and the mental errors that went along with that first half. And I just still don't know. I still don't know. However, a win is a win, and you get it against, again, a very good Arizona Cardinals team. I think this Arizona Cardinals team is going to be one that gets into the playoffs. Impressive. But I'm not throwing a party here on September 11th of 2017. Isaac Constance, engineer of WKAR's Current Sports. Isaac, first off, how you doing, my man? You had a good weekend, right?
Yes, I did. Happy to have football back. As you can see right now, I'm sporting my Saints jersey. Number 12, Marcus Colston. Saints play tonight against the Vikings to kick off Monday Night Football. But, you know, I wore the Marcus Colston jersey today, and I was just thinking, a lot of great receivers have come from really small schools. You think about Jerry Rice, the greatest receiver of all time. Nobody's going to touch him. Mississippi Valley State, think about probably the second greatest receiver of all time. Randy Moss, Marshall. Now, I'm not saying that small school equates good receiver or anything like that, but you've got Marcus Colston, who comes from Hofstra. You've got Terrell Owens, who was a third-round pick out of Tennessee State or Tennessee Bethman Cookman or something that you've never heard of. Terrell Owens, another small school, third-best receiver of all time. I'm not trying to draw any Howard comparisons to Kenny Golladay just yet, but I said week two of preseason, I think this could be something special, talking about Golladay.
That's the same thing that Calvin Johnson said.
I mean, exactly.
Calvin Johnson went to camp, and he looked at Golladay and said, there's something about this kid.
When you're 6'4", right. 213 pounds, and you've got the hands that he does, mm-hmm. a lot of times receiving, it's about the frame, and it's about the innate understanding of the game. You've got to have good hands. Don't get me wrong. But good hands, no matter where you are in life, those can be taught. Although it's a fundamental of receiving, you get better at catching as time progresses. It's that simple. It's why receivers and tight ends have picked up the game after playing college basketball. Again, right. Julius Thomas, Jimmy Graham, Antonio Gates, all examples of that. Now, at the same time, Kenny Golladay is a guy who played football. Again, he's got a great frame for this game. And the way he attacks the ball is one of a kind. That is my takeaway from the Lions' first game, is that they now have a 1-2 punch at the receiving core, plus a slot, in my opinion, Marvin Jones Jr., who's one of the best in the league.
And how about
They've
TJ
got
Jones?
The weapons. Exactly.
TJ
They've got
Jones,
the weapons to surround Stafford with, yeah.
Marvin Jones, TJ Jones, Kenny Golladay, and Golden Tate was so efficient in that game as well on Sunday. I mean, you've now, again, you've made Matthew Stafford your franchise quarterback. He's the highest paid quarterback in the league, highest paid player in the league right now, $135 million. He's your guy. He's durable. And also, I want to bring up that third down as well early in the game where Matthew Stafford, things weren't going well. And they're looking at, you know, third and some change. He decides to just say, you know what? And this is what Matthew Stafford gives you. He's so tough, and he's so durable. You know, it's tough to be a tough quarterback. and be healthy Sunday after Sunday after Sunday. He's so durable, and I think that's all. That also was a big factor as to why he got that big chunk of change that he currently has. But third down, looking at, you know, where the first down marker is, he decides to take the ball, tuck it, and not slide for a first down. He saw where the sticks were. He saw where the marker was. He knew he was going to get hit. He takes the hit and dives head first for the first down. You got to love that from Matthew Stafford. I don't care if you've been highly critical of him or you love him to death. No matter what side of the fence you fall on, you have to admit that Matthew Stafford is tough and he is so darn competitive. I absolutely love that play from him, and he's done that throughout his entire career. But now that he's your guy, you got to surround him with pieces so that he has a chance to be successful. And I think this Detroit Lions organization offensively has done that. However, that run game has to be better. And you talk about Kenny Golladay. Again, he's a third-round draft pick from Northern Illinois. He was not highly recruited, and this was brought up during the broadcast. One of the reasons he was not highly recruited is because he was so short. He didn't become 6'4 until he hit high school. So, you know, and a lot of schools weren't on him because of that, because he didn't have that frame until later on in his high school career, and then Northern Illinois gets a steal like that. So we'll see how effective he can be as the season rolls along. But I will say this, though. I'm not buying it just yet. This is still the Detroit Lions. Don't sip the Kool-Aid just yet, folks. They look good on Sunday, but they have got to start games better than they have shown dating back to last season. They have to attack, go for the kill, go for the jugular early on, because if you don't, you will get beat by better competition as the NFL year rolls along. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Let's hit our first break. When we come back, we will chat with Nate Atkins, Detroit Lions beat reporter for MLive. He'll give a firsthand account of what he saw from Ford Field yesterday afternoon. That and more. You are listening to WKAR's Current Sports. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I'm your host, Al Martin. You know, Isaac, I didn't bring up, I wanted to make sure I got his name right, but Casey Redfern, the punter for the Lions, he's out for the season now. And you saw what happened early on in that game. You know, the Lions were backed up in their own territory, and Redfern, he has some trouble, you know, with the snap. And there was a moment where
he... Did you do that intentionally?
I did. He has some trouble with the snap. He fumbles the snap, right? He goes to his right, and there is a moment where he has a chance to kick it Aussie style, you know, Australian style, down the field. Doesn't take the opportunity. He decides to run it out and just got absolutely trucked on the right sideline, and he's now done. A big hit from Arizona Cardinals tight end Ifeanyi Moma. Near the sideline, he was slow to get up, he was taken to the locker room, and he was ultimately ruled out with a knee injury. Caldwell went on to say after the game, quote, "This young man has worked extremely hard, and he's done a nice job for us. I was looking for him to have the kind of year he's shown he was having throughout the preseason." So the Lions actually turned to kicker Matt Prater to punt the rest of the game. And he really struggled. I think he averaged like 34.8 yards on punts. That's not going to get the job done. So now the Lions, Pistons, I'm like in basketball. Now the Lions have to figure out what they're going to do when it comes to that area of play, which is vital in the NFL. So just feel really bad for Redfern. I mean, this is a young man who has worked 4 years to try and make an NFL roster. He finally does. Has that happened? And now, question marks galore, right? 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Before we invite our guest for today's Current Sports, Nate Atkins, Lions beat reporter for MLive, Let's take one quick call. Dave from Wyoming, who is on line one. He wants to talk Detroit Lions. Dave, always good hearing your voice, my man. How you doing?
Well, we're doing all right. Thank you. You know, I got to say the first quarter yesterday, it was like, you know, I told my wife it epitomizes why the Lions haven't been in a championship game in 60 years.
Yeah.
It was like, I mean, everything from, like you said, the pick. And I just thought that Stafford had just locked on Golden Tate and was going to throw the ball in that double into that zone coverage. Tate gets a little wound up with the guy in the front end of the zone, and there it was. To you know, Anthony Zettel making a foolish play. He made some good plays towards the end of the game.
Yeah, he did.
But
yeah.
But they ducked giving away a touchdown on that one. It was a field goal that made, you know, that a personal foul was trying to block a field goal the wrong way.
Yep.
And, you know, luckily the Lions held it that way to go again. And I was saying before I got on the air, it's like I look at that game and I see the Packers twice and five other teams on that schedule, including Carolina and Pittsburgh. They can't spot 10 points and have that awful a first quarter and expect to win a game.
Very true. I mean, you got the Giants coming up. You play the Falcons after that. You'll be on the road against the Vikings, and you play the Panthers. I mean, it's a tough stretch of football to start the year.
There's, as I said, you look at the next 15 games, and you got two at Green Bay and some others that aren't given.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe Arizona, the way they're tracking, they very well could be next year. You know, they could be Baltimore next year. But with just who knows about the quarterback, he didn't look especially strong. And Larry Fitzgerald's getting long in tooth, too. But I have hope. And I'm not a huge Lion fan because I just got sick of being disappointed all the time. But I really, I think that that the new GM really showed his worth by getting a third round draft choice. From Northern Illinois the way he did, because that's the way you build championships. You don't, you know, you can't be awful and get good first-round draft choices all the time, because even with a salary cap and a rookie salary structure, that's still a lot of payroll on rolling the dice. But you get those guys that you don't have to pay a whole lot of money, rounds 3, 4, 5, that's the way you're going to do well. And nobody would have said it, would have said, you know, what was going on. Maybe you can ask your guy. I still think the Lions got some gaping holes on run blocking. I don't care who you put back there. You know, they got to have some space to run through, and I don't see that right now. So I'll hang up and listen. Thanks.
Thank you so much, Dave. Again, the number to call is 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. The Lions had 82 yards on the ground. Amir Abdullah leading the way with 15 carries, 30 yards. Averaging just 2 yards per carry. Not a great outing on the ground for the Lions. To elaborate more on the effort from the Lions from yesterday afternoon at Ford Field, we now invite to the show Nate Atkins, Detroit Lions beat reporter for MLive. Nate, how you doing?
Doing great, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Oh, a pleasure having you on, my man. Thanks so much for taking some time this Monday afternoon. So I'll start with the question that we just had from our caller, Dave from Wyoming. I'll make it a two-parter. How would you grade that Lions win, Nate? And what problems did you see with the run game yesterday?
Yeah, I actually kind of went through grades last night for this group and this win. I ended up overall coming out with a B+ for kind of what they did, because, I mean, we know how bad that start was, comically bad, and the grade would have been obviously so much lower just looking at that, but good teams rebound from bad starts, and you saw the Lions do that. You saw them make a lot of adjustments in the passing game as they went along. You know, the defense really bailed them out in some of those spots when, you know, lesser teams would have crumbled. So they cannot afford to start that way against teams like the Packers or Steelers or Falcons. We know that. But in this league, you got to win playing flawed sometimes. There's a lot of games here that you're just not going to play well in certain moments. Week one out of the gate, that sometimes happen. So for them to come out and kind of build quarter by quarter, series by series, offense and defense to come out with a comfortable win, I thought was pretty impressive. As far as the run blocking goes, you know, I always watch the coaches' film to look a little more at that. I do that on Tuesdays, so I'm not trying to totally cop out. But run blocking is a little bit more, you know, intense and technical and all of that. But I will say that I think, you know, I think Amir Abdullah was a little jittery to start that game, to come back for the first time after missing all that time with the foot injury. I think he would admit to you he probably left some yards in the field trying to make something happen rather than kind of taking the easy yards and letting it build off each other. So that could happen against a strong run defense like Arizona. And also, you're just seeing when offensive linemen don't have a lot of time together, you know, the run blocking's not together yet. They don't understand the amounts of power that they each have to apply, kind of the spacing, some of the techniques and adjustments before the play. And so when T.J. Lang has missed as much time as he has, that hurts both Rick Wagner on his right side and Travis Swanson on his left side. Mm-hmm. So the running game has been an issue they've tried to figure out and work through for years, and so that's an ongoing cloud above their head. But as far as specifically to that game, I think the one positive you come out of it after such a bad rushing effort is that Lang, as long as he's healthy, he's going to get more time with those guys. It should be something that just gets better.
Yeah, and yeah, we'll see how that chemistry evolves throughout the NFL year. Matthew Stafford able to shake off that first drive in which he throws a pick. And prior to that, Carson Palmer, we watched him throw a pick to lead to that Detroit Lions first drive. Just looking at how that game evolved, though, for Stafford. He shakes it off, four touchdowns, 292 yards. What did you see happen as far as Matthew Stafford just changing the way that game began for him? What adjustments did you see, if at all, for Matthew Stafford?
Yeah, it was a pretty disastrous start for him. I don't know that first throw was necessarily the worst in the world. I thought it was a great defensive play out of zone on a play that just didn't have great timing. Arizona's secondary can do that. But obviously a bad way to start for Stafford, and I think there was a lot off at that passing game. Timing-wise, you know, they had drops from Kenny Golladay and T.J. Jones across the middle. Mm-hmm. At times, Stafford was trying to force a few things. He went for throws kind of back across his body over the middle rather than some checkdowns and plays on the sideline to just get drives going. So I think there was just some frustration that they wanted to come out and capitalize, you know, in a game like this at home, you know, as long as they've waited, and it didn't happen. But thankfully for Stafford, the defense held them in enough to keep this manageable, and then it just got better and better from there. Something clicked in there where he started, you know, to recognize that they don't have an answer for Golden Tate. You know, he was finding holes in the zone, and then when they go to man, it was hard to keep up with him across the middle, and that's where his pass protection really set things up for him. So I think they went through that single connection, which Tate had 10 catches for more than 100 yards on just 12 targets, and then they let everything else feed off of that. You know, that's where eventually he decided he felt comfortable enough to take some shots downfield, like the one to Kenny Golladay, and that's where you just see that Stafford, once or twice or three times a game, he can make a throw that that very few other quarterbacks would try and very few could even make. And that throw to Golladay for the 45-yard touchdown was a perfect example of that. So when you have talent like that and you can kind of stay in enough as the game goes on, and you give your team a chance to win at the end.
Nate, Kenny Golladay, third-round draft pick from Northern Illinois, four catches, 69 yards, two touchdowns. Did you expect him to have an impact like this so early?
No, I did not. You know, he's gotten hype a lot in training camp and preseason, but that's easy to happen when it's, you know, we hype up rookies. They're almost like the new toys. They might not be your best toys, but they're the new ones you want to pay attention to. Fantasy football does that too. So I thought we were putting a little too much on Kenny Golladay for a while there, and you saw early in that game, I think he's probably a little nervous too, trying to make plays and in big moments like that. But no, I didn't expect, especially the downfield throw, that 45-yard catch he laid out for. You know, that of all the things that you think he's going to be able to bring right away, you think red zone, you know, making tough catches and contested catches with his 6'4" height. But, you know, to be able to go down like that, to show kind of his fleet foot and then the timing to time that ball up and catch it, that was impressive. So I don't think it was the most complete game start to finish for him, but you don't expect that out of a rookie, and he certainly did more than I think most rookies could ever do in their first game.
If you're just now joining us here on WKAR's Current Sports, we are chatting with Nate Atkins, Detroit Lions beat reporter for MLive. And Nate, to piggyback on the defense here, really briefly here. I mean, we saw three Detroit Lions safeties have interceptions in Miles Killebrew, Glover Quinn, and Tavon Wilson. Watching the defense throughout that game, I mean, Matthew Stafford wouldn't have had the opportunity to bring the Lions back for yet another comeback victory in the fourth quarter if it was not for the performance from that Detroit Lions defense. What stood out to you from that side of the ball?
Lots of things, dude, but I think it starts with how they defended the run. I mean, usually when you face a 1,200-yard back like David Johnson, you know, that's a way that a quarterback like Carson Palmer can really ease into everything else, riding him, you know, and setting up easier matchups, getting those safeties in. And the way that the Lions play, they play two safeties high and back. They don't want to give up these deep passes, and that leaves you at times a little vulnerable against the run. So the way that they filled holes up on the defensive line, especially the way that sideline-to-sideline speed came through from the linebackers, I thought they did a wonderful job tracking David Johnson and not really letting them set up anything in the drive. And so it made Carson Palmer sort of a more desperate quarterback who had to, you know, run these deeper passes and look down the field. And that's where you see this safety group I think we've been underrating, because they're not only skilled and experienced now, especially with Wilson and Quinn, but they're very hard to predict at this point. Miles Killebrew has come a long way into that sort of hybrid role that we've talked so much about, and that he has such a wide range of skills. And this year he's able to use it because he knows kind of where he's going. Glover Quinn is a much different type of player, rangy free safety, but he's got a variety of skills too, as a wonderful open field tackler. So he's comfortable stepping up in the box and changing what he does. And when you have three guys like that that you can trust, you know, in a variety of situations, that's when you get teams into you know, third and long and passing down. That's when those guys can kind of get after the football. And you saw it, three interceptions by three different guys. I don't think that was a total coincidence. I think they're going to start to get more playmaking based on just where that group has come in 2 years playing together.
Nate, how do you gauge the locker room? What was the mood like after this this win? Because, again, you start the game off like that, but you're able to pull out a win over an Arizona Cardinals team that is expected to have a pretty good year in 2017. I mean, what was the mood like when talking to Jim Caldwell and player personnel?
Yeah, I didn't go to Jim Caldwell's press conference. I went straight to the locker room. Mm-hmm. We kind of go on at the same time. But, man, it's a joyful place after a win like that. And I think the general mood there was, they all know that they made the kind of mistakes early in that game that, you know, it can almost make everything else irrelevant. It gets to the point where it doesn't matter what they did in the fourth quarter based on how they messed up in the first quarter. So I think they were just so thankful for different parts of this team, mainly on the defense, for holding it down there. And then they saw, you know, once you get these laughably bad errors out of the way, this can be a good football team when they're clicking and, you know, and they're running their plays the way they want to run them. And, it just was, you know, a real team effort between offense and defense with special teams aside. And I think that excited them, and also the play of really young players like, you know, Jared Davis, A'shaun Robinson, and Kenny Golladay. And that's a way to inspire a team. You're getting some newer players, younger players who are taking that next step. It sort of tells you what your ceiling might be this year.
Very true. All right, Nate, they have the New York Football Giants Monday Night Football in week two, a week from today. The Giants fell to the Dallas Cowboys on Sunday Night Football last night. What do you foresee in that game? And also this tough stretch, beginning stretch for the Lions. How do you think they'll come out of this fire so far?
Yeah, it is a treacherous stretch here.
Yeah.
And not only facing really good quarterbacks, but really good pass rushers without Taylor Decker. I thought yesterday that it was a must win with this slate to not start off badly, and they got it. And I'm starting to think they might be a little better these first six games out of the gate than maybe I thought going in. And so, you know, the Giants game was one that before the year, when I looked at the schedule and you see their Monday Night Football on the road against a team that they couldn't move the ball against last year, I thought that was a for sure loss. After watching both of those games, New York's and Detroit's last, you know, yesterday, I think it's now pretty much a coin toss. It's going to come down to if Odell Beckham Jr. plays or not. You know, that's going to totally determine how much of an offense, if any offense, New York has. So I don't have a lot of faith in Detroit moving the ball a ton on that defense. It's just a tough matchup for a lot of teams, especially a team like Detroit that can't run and loves to throw the ball, but they're going up against an elite secondary. But I don't have any faith in the Giants scoring any more than they are. So I think, you know, special teams could be a unit that decides that, and that's obviously where the Lions have to get a lot better this week.
Well, it should be a fun game a week from today. Nate Atkins, you can read his work at MLive.com. Also, follow him on Twitter at @NateAtkins_. Nate, thank you so much for your time.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
All right, let's hit our final break. When we come back, we will have weekend winners for you as we talk college football, Michigan State and U of M getting a dub on Saturday afternoon. We'll talk about that. Also, we'll introduce you to two of our current sports beat reporters who will be bringing you new content throughout the next few months via WKAR.org and, of course, Current Sports Radio. That and more. We'll put a bow on today's Current Sports in just a moment. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. We just finished up a conversation with Nate Atkins, Detroit Lions beat reporter for MLive.com. We have been talking Lions all hour. Time to talk some college football with our weekend winner segment. Who exactly had the best weekend in the world of sports and beyond? Here we go.
This is what's great about sports. This is what the greatest thing about sports is. You play to win the game. Hello? You play to win the game. You don't play to just play it. That's the great thing about sports. You're the best around. Nothing's gonna ever keep you down. You're the best around. Nothing's gonna ever keep you down. You're the best around. Nothing's gonna ever keep you down.
All right, Isaac, I'm gonna go with Michigan State football. We'll elaborate more on the Spartan win over WMU on tomorrow's Current Sports, but a big win, I thought, over a Western Michigan University team that actually pushed, at the time, number 4 USC to the brink. And they came out and just asserted themselves from the start on. I was really impressed with the Michigan State defense. They have not allowed a touchdown. And the only points they have given up remain the 3 points it allowed on a field goal against Bowling Green in the opener. Very impressive. The speed of that Michigan State defense is something that really stands out to me. Brian Lewerke showing that he is a dual threat quarterback. He's got a great arm on him. He can read defenses. And that 61-yard touchdown that he had was so impressive, showed that he's got some jets. I had no idea that Brian Lewerke had speed like that. I think when it comes to the run game, LJ Scott is the guy. I think right now he's leading the pack right now. We did see a few elusive runs from Gerald Holmes as well. But I think LJ, you know, he ran a really nice wheel route for a touchdown from Brian Lewerke in that game as well. And I'm just impressed with what we're seeing from this Michigan State team right now. I don't like the early bye, though. I mean, you're rolling right now. You're 2-0. That's the way you want to start the year, right? Against competition like Western Michigan, a very stout team dating back to last year. I don't want to take any credit from the Broncos. Mm-hmm. But you're 2-0. You beat Bowling Green in the season opener. You're rolling. Then you have to take a week off. And then you welcome Notre Dame to Spartan Stadium at night. I don't like that. Notre Dame was very competitive against Georgia, even though they lost by 1 point. I don't like that early bye, but I am liking what I'm seeing from Michigan State right now. I'm going with Michigan State football as my weekend winner.
Well, and that's the thing. Notre Dame was competitive, but they lost. MSU's got all the momentum at this point. The bye does hurt the Spartans. At the same time, you'd rather go in with momentum than coming off of anything else. MSU has looked really good. The play that I thought summed up yesterday for the Spartans, or not yesterday, Saturday for the Spartans defense, was when Raekwon Williams just burst through the defensive line right in the center, gutted the play. The Spartans defensive line is the biggest alteration from last year. It's just so different in the way it affects the entire defense and how they play. The Spartans are so much more competitive. There's a lot more heart this year. Even though it's 2-0, just like last year, this year feels different. My other weekend winners, boy, Darius Phillips, NFL teams, be on high alert.
He's good.
I mean, that guy can just burn it up, and he is fantastic. He reminds me of Desmond King, Iowa, also both from Detroit, and then Sloane Stephens. Did you see her face after getting that check? Good for her.
3.6 mil? Something like that. 3.7 mil. Wow. She was very happy about that, and you know, she talked about what's her motivation going to be moving forward. Well, the money. She said, did you see that check?
That's
easy. I love how honest she is. She's so down to earth and honest. Absolutely love that. And also, real quick about MSU football. You know, when it comes to sacks for this team, I mean, they had 11 last season, and they're at like 5 or 6 now. That's crazy.
Crazy.
Crazy. All right. I want to quickly introduce, we have 90 seconds left, but I want to quickly introduce two students that will be helping us out throughout the semester, bringing you great content on Current Sports at facebook.com/currentsports, as well as WKAR.org. Of course, you guys know each and every semester we work with the Journalism 418 class from the College of Communication, Arts, and Sciences. Two brothers right here that have joined me live in Studio S. I just want you guys to introduce yourselves and tell the folks out there what you will be covering throughout the next few months. We'll start with Casey Harrison. Casey, what's up?
Hi, my name is Casey Harrison. I'm a junior journalism major. I'll be covering the Lansing boxing and MMA beat. Also do a little bit of stuff on the side for Detroit Free Press, writing for MSU football, stuff like that.
Very cool stuff, and I guess Casey is continuing the tradition that Austin Shore did a good job of establishing last year.
He
still has a few stories that absolutely are still going viral. So, Casey, some pressure, but I'm sure you'll hold it down, all right? And we have John LeBlanc. John, what's up, man?
What's up? My name is, like Al just said, my name is John LeBlanc. I'm a junior studying journalism, and I will bring you guys men's and women's golf coverage from Michigan State University.
Great. Are they're currently in season, right?
Yeah, they're in season right now.
And I believe they're coming to the end of the year pretty soon, though. Are they? How long will they go?
They go until, I believe, like mid-October, and then they take a break for the winter, and then they pick back up in the spring.
Great stuff. John, Casey, looking forward to having you guys a part of the team. We'll see you all out there same time, same place tomorrow, folks. You have been listening to WKAR's Current Sports. Be easy, people.